This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Last week we started looking at the topic of materialism. Okay, we looked at that topic. Looked at what that meant. What did that word materialism mean? We looked at the dictionary meaning, and we looked at several other definitions of materialism. Okay, and I'm just going to quickly recap on the definition, the dictionary definition. It says it's a desire for wealth and material possessions with little interest in ethical or spiritual matters. So that was the dictionary definition that we looked at last week. We also looked at the origin of materialism. And we said that the origin of materialism can be found in the Garden of Eden, when Satan succeeded in tempting Eve and bringing about the disobedience of both Adam and Eve. So we looked at, you know, Genesis. We went back to Genesis and we looked at the origin. That's where it all started from. Okay. And last week, we also began to look at how materialism works or operates, okay? And I want to really go a bit more into that this evening. How does materialism work or operate, okay? First of all, I want to establish the fact that we live in a materialistic world. Okay, we live in a very, very materialistic world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, if you quickly go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. I'm going to read two verses, 15 and 16. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Okay? If you look at verse 16 again, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." This, to me, all point to the fact that the world that we live in is a materialistic world, okay? And because we live in such a materialistic world, that world wants to encroach on how we conduct ourselves. It wants to dictate to us on what we do, how we think, how we behave, okay? How we conduct ourselves. So because we live in such a materialistic world, it produces materialistic tendencies in us to the degree that we allow it to, okay? Yes, we have strong materialistic influences in this world that we live in, but it affects us, okay, to the degree that we allow it to, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say, you know, this evening is the fact that materialism is a lie from Satan. Okay? It's a lie from Satan. We saw that in Genesis when we looked at Genesis last week. And the reason why it's a lie from Satan is the fact that the continuous quest for an acquisition of material things never satisfies. Never satisfies. That continual quest for, that continual desire for materialistic things never satisfies. But the devil, Satan, lies to us and, you know, wants us to believe that the more we acquire, the more satisfaction we will have. And I said last week that if materialism was ever to satisfy anyone, then all we need to look at is, you know, King Solomon. And, you know, clearly in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 8 to 11, from what he said, which we read last week, you know, material things, material wealth does not satisfy. So how does materialism actually operate in the life of a person? How does it operate in your life, in my life, if it's operating in our lives? It starts from within the heart. Okay? It starts from within the heart, and then it manifests itself outwardly. So it always, you know, with every issue of life, it always starts within the heart. Okay? And that's what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to grab, arrest our hearts. And eventually, that begins to manifest itself on the outside. I really believe that materialism is a spirit. It's a spirit that can operate in the life of anyone who gives it room to do so. It's a spirit, and it's not a good spirit. But it will operate in your life to the degree that you allow it to. Even as a Christian, it can operate in the life of a Christian. And we see that, you know, even in Christian circles today, that materialism has subtly, you know, entered into the realm of Christianity and into the lives of Christians. So much so that, you know, it's actually taking over some people's lives. Okay. Materialism comes out of a lack of contentment. That's what produces it. It comes out of a lack of contentment. And that lack of contentment gives rise to the desire for more and more. That's how materialism starts. It's just out of a lack of contentment. And like I said, that lack of contentment gives rise to the desire for more and more. And I'm not saying that the desire to have, you know, to have good things is wrong. The desire to, you know, have the good things of life is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. And you will see as I go on. You see, this desire for more never stops. That's the difference. It never stops. It never ceases. That, you know, it never gets to that stage where you think, okay, yes, I just want to thank God and I just want to bless God and I just want to enjoy those things that God has given me so freely to enjoy. Okay? A materialistic person never gets to that stage because the desire never stops. The actualization or fulfillment of one desire leads to another. So what happens is that once one's desire, one particular desire is met and is fulfilled, rather than being happy, rather than being contented, rather than being joyful, the next desire rears its head. Okay? Rears its head. So one desire leads to another and another, with no sense of contentment, peace, or joy with what has already been provided. And when I actually read it, and I was actually looking at that, I thought, wow. And I'll say that again. It says, I said here, the actualization of fulfillment of one desire leads to another and another with no sense of contentment, peace, or joy. So such a person is not contented. Such a person has no, there's not that sense of peace and joy in their life. You know, they're not a very happy person or a joyful person. Even though, you know, one desire after the other keeps being met and keeps being met, there still isn't that sense of being at peace, being filled with the joy of the Lord, or being contented. Materialism produces in a person an all-consuming desire for more and more that is never satisfied and just keeps seeking after the next thing to the detriment of everything else, including relationships with God and others like family and friends. That is what materialism does. So you just keep seeking after the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, to the detriment of even your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And you see, it is subtle. It is subtle, and I'll keep repeating this all the time. Materialism is subtle, because when you start off, you don't start off intending to put your relationship with God to one side. You don't intend to put your relationship with your family to one side. That's not the intention. Okay, but that's what materialism leads one into. Materialism can also operate in anyone, whether rich or poor. Okay? So you could be a rich person and be very materialistic, and you could be a poor person and you could be very materialistic. There are many materialistic rich people as well as poor people who are materialistic. Okay? And it's obvious to the eye. Okay? Rich people, even the Bible tells us this. Rich people, however, have a greater tendency towards materialism. They have a greater tendency. So what I'm saying is that it operates in everyone, or it can operate in everyone, but a rich person has a greater tendency or greater inclination towards materialism than, the ordinary person. And as we go on, we'll see several scriptures that clearly state that. Jesus clearly spoke about that. Okay. Remember, I'm still talking about how it operates in the life of a person. Materialism takes root in a person's heart when Satan himself comes to tempt that person with material and worldly things, and subtly deceives and convinces them to believe that gaining or having those material things will give them the fulfillment they crave for, or the satisfaction in life that they desire. That's the way the enemy works it. That's how he does it. That's how he causes materialism to take root in our heart. He comes and he tempts us with material things, with worldly. Remember, we live in a world that is materialistic. Remember, look at the scripture that we read in 1 John 2. Okay. So already the enemy is at work within our world anyway. But personally, he comes to us on a one-to-one basis to subtly deceive us and convince us that to believe that gaining or having those material things will give us the fulfillment and the satisfaction that we're looking for. And you know how he does that? He shows us others who seemingly are fulfilled and are satisfied and are happy and have everything and their life is all together. Supposedly. And makes us think, oh, how miserable you are because you haven't got this and you haven't acquired that and you haven't acquired. And those are the lies of the enemy. And that's why I said that it's the devil that comes to tempt us. It's the devil that comes to tempt us. And, make us feel that material things, material wealth will bring the fulfillment and the satisfaction. And I think I said it last week. The fulfillment or the satisfaction that material things can bring is only temporal. Is only temporal. It's always been temporal. It will always be temporal. It can never be, everlasting or eternal. It can never be. Because they're material things. They're material things. They're not eternal things. You see, Satan, is someone with guts. Satan even went to the extent of doing this to Jesus. Satan did it to Jesus when he tempted him in Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. He had the guts. So if he can tempt Jesus, he can tempt me. He can tempt you. He can subtly move us from where we are supposed to be. He can subtly cause our eyes to go to be taken off Jesus and placed on material things, on material wealth. And we'll say, you know, that's not a problem because God wants us, you know, God wants to bless us with all good things, you know. The Bible says He has given us all things, you know, richly to enjoy. Yes, that's true. But we need to, you know, draw the line. We need to know when materialism is beginning to take root in our hearts or take over. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority, what he was saying, all this glory, all these kingdoms, everything that you see here. The Bible says that he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He showed him everything. Everything. And he said to him, all this authority, all these things, I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. This is exactly what Satan does. Satan subtly comes to us. He doesn't come to us loud and clear, and then you can recognize that he's Satan. But he comes to us and he says, these things you can have. This you can have. This you can have. But you can have it with a little compromise, with a little sin, with a little backslidingness. He doesn't, you know, I'm saying that, but he doesn't come out like that and say to you that this is how you're going to get it. But that's what he says. I can give you all. Don't you wonder how sometimes he sets up this, you know, this stars and, you know, this music stars, and he sets them up and he seemingly gives them everything. And before you know it, he pulls the ladder off there, you know, from beneath them. Because the enemy has not got any good thing to give any one of us. But see what he had the guts. He was saying to Jesus, all these things, you know, have been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus immediately answered him with the word of God. You know why? Because in Jesus, there was no trace of materialism in Jesus. There was no trace of lack of contentment in Jesus. There was no trace of greed in Jesus. There was no trace. And therefore, he rebuffed and rebuked Satan. It's like, how dare you? How dare you? You want to use the material things, the kingdoms of this world, to tempt me, the Son of God. Which we know exactly. How dare you? How silly you are. How, you know? How it's, you can't even begin to think about it. So if he did it, what I want to ponder, if he did it to Jesus, he will do it to us. He came to Jesus at his at that time where he was very vulnerable. He came to him at that time where he felt, I could get him now. I can get him now. You know, I don't want to say the word minister, but he wanted to. Oh, what's the word? The dictates of his flesh. He wanted to see if he could get him in his flesh. Let me put it that way. That's what materialism does. Materialism panders to our flesh. It doesn't pander to the Spirit of God inside of us. It doesn't. Okay. So this work of the enemy leads to a person chasing after things. When he's able to take root in our heart, what happens is that we then begin to chase after things, chase after material wealth. And don't get me wrong, God wants to bless us. God doesn't want us to live in poverty. That's not what I'm saying. But we begin to chase after these things rather than chasing after God. You see, when we are chasing after material things and wealth more than we are chasing after God, then we are materialistic. It's as simple as that. Me that I'm talking, if I'm chasing after material things, material wealth, the good things of life, more than I'm chasing after God, then I'm materialistic. And God doesn't want me to be materialistic. What then happens is that everything else becomes secondary to our quest for more. Little by little, everything else begins to become secondary. Begins to become secondary. You know, we begin to drop those things. Those things that are godly, those things that God requires of us, we begin to drop them in our quest for more. Okay? Our time, our concentration, our energy, our thoughts are all taken up by this quest for more and more. I'm just saying this is how it operates. It's subtle. It starts gently, then it gets bad, and then it moves from bad to worse. So our time begins to be directed in that direction. Our energy begins to that. Maybe we won't wake up to pray. You know, maybe we will not wake. Maybe we're someone who loves to sleep and we will never wake up to pray, you know, in the middle of the night. But you know, when materialism enters into our hearts, we will wake up at any time of the night to chase after. That's what materialism does. So when we begin to examine our lives, and our lives are like that, we won't pray, we won't read the word, we won't evangelize, we won't, you know, minister to anybody else, we won't go and pray for the sick, we won't go and visit anyone in prisons, we won't take care of the widows and the orphans and, you know, all the things that the word of God does. But when it comes to chasing after things, you know, there's some people, you know, you wake them up on a Sunday, let's go to church, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm so tired, da 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 da, and then some call comes in from nowhere, you know, about some whatever, I don't know, get rich quick venture or whatever, and this same person that could not get up to go to church will get up in a flash, will be in and out of the bathroom, and they will be ready to go. There is materialism in their hearts. Such people never get to a place of being satisfied or contented. Like I said earlier, I know I've said it before, but a materialistic person never gets to that place where they're satisfied or contented. And you know, the sad thing is that this can lead a person to a dangerous place where they are willing to do anything. So this is like the, you know, it's getting even worse now. Such a person, because when that materialism is sin, and it's when it's not dealt with in the heart, you know, then it then leads that person to such a dangerous place where they are willing to do anything just to have more. And usually such people use, you know, this is usually under the guise of, oh, I'm only trying to make a living. I'm only trying, you know, a man has to live. The Bible says that, you know, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, you know. Or if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Okay, so, you know, we hide sometimes. It's eating under that guise. But then when, especially as a Christian, when we get to a stage where we are willing to begin to do anything to fulfill, you know, our need to acquire more, then it's very, very dangerous and it's very, very sad, and God doesn't want it to be like that. And I've listed a few points here. And I've said materialism at its worst case will cause a person, number one, to draw away from God. That's number one. This is at its worst case. Will cause a person to draw away from God. Okay. There are so many Christians. It's the truth, so I'm just going to say it. There are so many Christians that have drawn away from God, even as I'm speaking right now, because of materialism, because of the desire to acquire more, to acquire more, to acquire more, to acquire more. But, you know, when it gets to a stage where you don't know where there is no end to it, then it's really dangerous. And I don't know about you. I have someone close to me who, you know, they had everything. They built houses. God blessed them. So the main thing was to just build houses and build houses and build houses and acquire and acquire and acquire. And over the years, and we will be looking at this scripture next week when we go to Matthew 6. Over the years, there are people that have come into their house and stolen things. There's been, you know, there's just been a gradual loss, you know. And I'm not saying that in a horrible way. But that, you know, is a vivid example to me that, look here, you know, we can acquire and acquire and acquire and acquire above what is necessary. But really, is that what God wants for us? Truly, is that what God wants for us? So much so now, they've lost so much that, you know, in one instance, the government has come and taken over a certain house and actually bulldozed the whole house, and they've lost that house. They've lost so much so that even their children that they probably thought, I'm leaving it for these children, cannot enjoy it. You know, and you know, when I look at that particular example, I think, wow, you know, after all these years, and this is somebody who's worked hard, but they've gathered all these things, and literally it's like they've developed wings and they've flown away. You know, so sometimes we need to consider these things. Now, coming back to what materialism will cause a person to do, it will cause you to draw away from God, number one. It will cause you to get your priorities wrong. The priorities of God, family, church fellowship, ministry, rest, and so on will become misplaced. You know, we will not know, our priorities will just get misplaced because of materialism. Number two, materialism will cause you to spend inadequate time with your family. You don't spend enough time with your family. Because, you know, not only do you need time to acquire, you also need time to maintain what you've acquired while you're still thinking of acquiring the next one. You know? So that will affect the family. Number three, materialism at its worst case will cause a person to draw away from brethren. You draw away from brethren, you will draw away from fellow believers. You don't want to know your fellow believers, and because you're so busy right now. You're so busy. You know? You're so busy. There's so much on your plate at the moment. But to be truthful, that's so much that is on your plate. Is it of God? That's the key. Is it of God? Have you inquired of God? Is that what God is saying to you? And we need to examine our hearts. Because many a times, you know, we haven't really sought God's face. We haven't. We've joined the bandwagon of what other people are doing. Materialism will cause you to stop or irregularly attend church services. It will affect your being in fellowship. Some people completely stop. completely stop. That's why some pastors sometimes they think, you know, do I really want to pray for this person that God will really bless them because you you know, because it's amazing. It is amazing what materialism will do. It will stop. You know, you stop. And such a person will still give you, you know, what they feel is a genuinely valid reason. You know why? Because the enemy has subtly deceived them. So they will come up with what they feel is a genuine valid reason. Oh, pastor, you understand. But they've drawn away. They've been drawn away. They're drawn away from God. Their family is not seeing them anymore. They've drawn away from brethren. Everybody calls them, nobody can get them. After a while, everybody will stop ringing them because it's like, you know, you can never get them. They're so busy now. Another thing that materialism will cause is it will cause a person to not have time for prayer and the reading / studying of the Word of God. You know, he won't. It's just that you can't go, you don't go to their homes to see them when they wake up in the morning. They won't have time for prayer or the study of the Word of God because their whole life has been consumed with these materialistic tendencies. Okay? Not only that, materialism at its worst case will cause a person to tell lies, to cheat, and engage in fraudulent activities. In my job, I deal with that every day, where people will tell lies. Sometimes you want to, like, you know, you don't know what to do anymore. That is what materialism will bring about. A person that normally won't tell a lie will then become a liar. A person that normally wouldn't cheat will then begin to cheat. Because when they cannot fulfill or they cannot meet their desires in a legitimate way, they will open, the enemy will whisper to them. The enemy will make it, you know, a palatable thing for them to do it in an illegitimate way. So such people, you know, can get to that stage where they begin to tell lies, cheat, and even engage in fraudulent activities. I'm talking worst case scenario here, but it starts subtly. Starts subtly. Such people will, you know, go and claim things that they're not supposed to claim, get involved with things that they're not supposed to. Even Christians. The next thing it will cause a person, or it can cause a person to do, is to get involved in get-rich-quick ventures. You know, someone was speaking to a pastor recently, and you know, and this were, you know, the people that did it were Christians, and there was this, there's this thing that was kind of like in vogue a few years ago now, called pyramid. I don't know if anybody's, you know, and there are people putting, someone was just saying to him, some people put down £10,000, some people put down £5,000, £2,000. These are all get-rich-quick ventures. When you have a materialistic tendency, when there is materialism in your heart, then you will be drawn towards such ventures. Because what it means is that if I can get this, and this money can be multiplied quickly, then I can acquire this. You see, when I was, there's a scripture I'm going to come to probably next week, the scripture about the love of money, you know, is the root of all evil. That love of money, the reason why we love money is because money is what you use to acquire. You don't just love money for the sake of loving money. So really, it's the things that we want to acquire that are, you know, that are the main thing. So we only love the money because, okay, if I have this, then I can do this, then I can get this, then I can buy the house, then I can, you know, I can move, I can upgrade, I can do this and do that and do, and then where does it stop? Where does it stop? Why do you have to acquire 20 houses? Why do you have to have 25 flats? You know, I know people, we know some people. Why? I know, you know, investments are good, but many a times we go beyond the Sorry? Yeah, we go beyond our means, but we go beyond. It's no longer investment. It's just greed. As far as I'm concerned, it's greed. It's no, that's no longer investing for your children. That is sheer greed. Sheer greed. And that's why some people, you know, then develop high blood pressure. Because, you know, to even look after 2, 3, 4 houses is enough. To be looking after 25, you know, can cause anybody to, you know. Anyway, I won't go there. So, materialism will cause a person to get involved in get rich quick ventures. There's so many of them. You know, I don't know if you, there was a program, there was a time, you know, that some people were being swindled from abroad of their funds here, and they would get letters saying, yes, they used to call it 419, and they would get letters, you know, saying, you know, you just deposit this amount, and if you deposit this amount, you know, so and so will be paid. And so many people in this country were swindled of thousands and thousands of pounds. Okay. It's because of materialism in the heart. Okay. Another thing that it will cause a person to do is to compromise, to lower previously held standards and fall into a state of backslidingness. Okay. It will cause you to compromise. It will cause Christians to say to you, take it easy. Are you now saying that, you know, it was just a small lie, you know? Why, you know, you people, you're too rigid. You know, okay, anyway, you're a pastor. I've had people say, oh, you're a pastor's wife, so I can't, you know, I know you won't go there. People say, you know, Christians say that, you know, oh, you won't get involved in that. But materialism will cause people to lower their standards. People who had high biblical, godly standards will put those standards aside. Okay, they will compromise. They will fall into a state of backslidingness when materialism enters. The number 9, it will cause them to lose passion for the things of God. Okay, materialism causes us to lose passion for the things of God. We lose interest. We lose passion. You know, we draw back, like I said earlier. It causes us also, it can also cause a person to neglect their relationships and their marriage, which can lead to breakdown of such relationships. Okay? That can also happen. And finally, for today, materialism at its worst case can cause a person to sell their soul just for mere material things or material wealth. Sell your soul. And when I mean sell your soul, I don't mean, you know, sell it on eBay. I mean, you know, just really. Just, you just, it's like, God, you stay on your side. Me, this is the lifestyle I've chosen. This is the way I've chosen. This is what's going to satisfy me. This is what's going to fulfill me. Lord, I can't wait for you. Your promises, your word, that is just the Bible. You know, this is where you hear people say, let's be real. You know, be real here. You know, we have to eat. Be real. You know, but what they're saying is, God, you're not big enough. You're not powerful enough to provide for us, just like it tells us in Matthew chapter 6, which we will be looking at next week. And therefore, they're going to do it their way. So such people just, you know, sell their soul. But that will not be our portion today. And I just pray that God will help us to begin to examine our lives, you know, based on his word in this area. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your word.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.com. wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.